Recently, I read an article by Reverend Greg Rapp, who is the pastor at First Church in Hanover, where some years ago I served. And what he wrote in this article so resonated with me at the beginning of this Lenten season that I wanted to share some of it with you this morning. Greg wrote this. During Lent this year, I want to figure out what it means to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. I've really let the temple go. So I'm obviously going to take care of some deferred maintenance through eating right and getting some exercise. More importantly, I have to pay a lot more attention to my tenant. I want the Holy Spirit to be welcome, at home, and able to do its work. And then Greg says, I had an absentee landlord when I was in college. The guy lived in another state and hadn't laid eyes on the place in years. As long as the rent was paid, we'd never heard from him. The house had been passed down through the music department for years as the marching band party house, though I never told my mom this. By the time I moved in, the place was a disaster. The windows were cracked and let cold air in. The plaster was falling off the walls in a few places. The toilet rocked back and forth when you sat on it. It leaked through the floor and dripped into the living room. Some ingenious former tenant had wired a turkey roasting pan to the ceiling to catch the water so you wouldn't get dripped on when you came in the front door. We didn't know that until one night it got so full that it tore loose and crashed down through the ceiling, dripping toilet water on everything. We fixed what we could, Greg wrote, and called the landlord repeatedly, but he never called us back. It was clear our absentee landlord really didn't care. Then Pastor Greg asks this, is that how the Holy Spirit sees me? I've let the place go and haven't stayed in touch. Eating better isn't going to be enough. Hitting the treadmill isn't going to be enough either. I have to sit down face to face with the Holy Spirit and hash a few things out. Let the Spirit decide what's dirty and what's clean. Let the Spirit decide what's broken, sinful, and stained. Let the Spirit decide what gets to stay and what has to go. The Spirit is not a tenant who rents a spare room. I am not a rental house of the Holy Spirit. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is not a guest in the temple, but is enthroned. The Spirit's in charge, not me. Time to turn over a lot more control. You know, I so appreciated Pastor Greg's challenging words as we begin the Lenten season. And I wonder, what does it look like in our day-to-day lives to be a place that welcomes the Holy Spirit? How can we make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit, who would lovingly clean up our messes, who would patiently repair what has been broken, who would persistently show us what gets to stay and what has to go? One of the most important ways for us to sit down face to face with the Holy Spirit is prayer. And today we're beginning this series of messages on prayer, and we're focusing on some of the many names for God. You know, our God is so great, our God is so good, that there is not a single name that can fully capture who God is. And so in the Bible, God's character is revealed by using at least 85 different names. And we're going to focus on seven of those names in this series. And I want to encourage you to join us in worship every week and to read the Bible readings that we've provided for each day. For as we call on God's name in prayer, we are being available. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Today we're looking at the name of God revealed to Abraham following one of the most powerful scenes in all of Scripture. The name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. As it says in number one in your notes, when you pray Jehovah Jireh, you are praying to the God who sees beforehand and is able to provide for your needs. Jehovah Jireh, God sees beforehand and is able to provide for all that you need. As we meet Abraham in this great story in Genesis 22, we know that Abraham knows two things. Abraham knows at this point in his life that God has always been faithful to him in the past. The story of Abram and Sarai begins in Genesis 12 when Abram is 75 years old and Sarai is 65. And God calls them to go to a land they have never seen. And even though they don't have any children, and even though they are way beyond the childbearing years, God promises them that they will be the father and mother of many nations. In fact, God promises that their descendants will number like the stars in the sky. Well, 25 years pass. 25 years. Now Abraham is 100 years old and Sarah is 90. And miracle of miracles, Sarah has a baby. And they name him Isaac, which means laughter, because there is a whole lot of laughter about this 90-year-old giving birth to a son. That which was humanly impossible was made possible by God. And as we meet Abraham in today's scripture, he knows that Jehovah Jireh, God sees beforehand and is always able to provide what he needs. God has been faithful to Abraham in the past. And then as we meet Abraham here, there is a second thing he knows. He knows that now he is faced with an unforeseen and unfair tragedy. Let's jump into the story at verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. Now, everyone that reads this might well ask, what kind of God would command a father to offer up his son, his only son, as a burnt offering? Jewish and Christian scholars have long debated why this story is even in the Bible. Some have suggested that when this story was first told, in many cultures surrounding ancient Israel, children were often sacrificed to the foreign gods. And they suggest that this story is in the Bible to teach us that the God of Abraham abhors child sacrifice, that every child is precious in God's sight, that God's people are called to value every life. And I think this story is in the Bible for another reason. It tells us that God sometimes asks us to do things that from our perspective seem impossible. Sometimes God asks you and me to do the really, really hard thing that seems impossible from our perspective. To make sacrifices for a difficult child or a spouse or parent who's ill. To forgive the hurt. To get the help you need to be set free from an addiction. To make the generous gift for God's work. To keep the daily discipline of prayer. To give the Holy Spirit complete control. You know, we love to sing that old hymn, "All to Jesus I surrender all." But like Abraham, when we're asked to do the really hard thing, we hesitate. You see, as it says in number 3 in the notes, faith is a journey, and it involves doubts and questions. And Abraham certainly had those. The next section of this story plays out almost in slow motion. There is so much detail in it. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took 2 of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the 3rd day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the 2 of them walked on together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, "Father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "Jehovah Jireh will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the 2 of them walked on together. Frame by frame, we follow father and son. For 2 days, they walk ever so slowly with the donkey plodding alongside of them. Abraham doesn't say much, and Isaac says even less. And we can only imagine, what are they thinking? What are they feeling faced with such a difficult thing? And then on the 3rd day, Abraham sees the place on top of the mountain. And he takes Isaac apart from the companions and they walk alone. The 2 of them in silence. And the narrator keeps repeating those words, son and father, to remind us of the great, great love that Abraham has for Isaac and that Isaac has for his father. Doubts and questions surround this scene. And yet, as we hear this story, there is also this underlying sense of confidence in Jehovah Jireh. Because God has been so faithful to Abraham in the past, Abraham is trusting that even now, God will somehow provide. You see, faith is the ability to see that God provides a way even when there seems to be no way. Look at this rest of the story. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Beloved, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And as you pray, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Like Abraham, you come to see that the Lord will provide. Walking with God in the Spirit, we discover that God never fails and that God makes a way even when there seems to be no way. Many years after Abraham, there was another Isaac. He walked up a hill carrying wood on his back for a sacrifice. God gave his son, his only son, the one that he loved, for our salvation. At the Lord's table, we remember Jehovah Jireh. We remember God's answer to Isaac's question. Early in the Gospel of John, we read that John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." At this table, we remember. We remember that God has gone before us even to the cross to provide for everything that we need. This Lenten season, I invite you, remember, your body is a temple. May the Holy Spirit be enthroned in it. We all could use some maintenance, the kind that only Jehovah Jireh can provide. So come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come.